Once you've understood the four fara'id, the next thing that is discussed are the sunan of wudu. Meaning, what are the sunnahs of wudu? And if you recall, we spoke about sunnah and how do the fuqaha establish something as sunnah yesterday. And basically, either you have a recommendation or you have a command, but the proof is a little bit weaker. I don't want to re-enter this discussion, but it's a little bit less than a farad. It's something recommended or done regularly by the Prophet ﷺ, and you have a strong enough proof to establish it as part of the deen. These are called the sunan of wudu. And there are several sunnahs that you should keep in mind. The first and foremost is the niyyah. The niyyah is a sunnah of wudu. So the niyyah is actually an act of the heart. It's not an act of the tongue according to the Hanafi madhab. The Hanafi madhab says that the niyyah is an act of the heart. The Shafi'i madhab says that the niyyah has to be articulated by the tongue. If you intend to make wudu, you say to yourself when you wake up in the morning, you know, I'm going to go take a shower, and while I'm in the shower, I'm also going to make wudu. And then you go into the shower, but you don't literally stand there and say, now I am making wudu. You still have a niyyah. The niyyah is in the heart. You don't need to articulate it with the tongue. It's considered an act of the heart. And remember that the niyyah is required in order to earn the reward of the wudu. And we spoke in detail about the rewards of the wudu in a previous lesson as well. The second sunnah is the siwak, is using the miswak at the time of wudu. Not only is this a sunnah at the time of wudu, but the Prophet ﷺ used it so consistently that it's called one of those things which are a continual sunnah. Something that the Prophet ﷺ did continuously throughout the day. Regularly, you would often find the Prophet ﷺ using a miswak, especially at the time of wudu, at the time of prayer, at the time of recitation, before recitation of the Qur'an, at the time of sleep, and at the time of waking. In fact, the Prophet desired to make it mandatory upon all of us that we use the miswak. He wanted to make it mandatory upon us. He said it himself in a hadith, and if you look at this hadith from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لولا أن أشق على أمتي, if I did not fear that I would be difficult, that it would be difficult upon my ummah, لَأْمَرْتُهُمْ بِالتَّأْخِيرِ الْإِشَاءِ, I would command them. I would command them to delay the Isha prayer, وَبِالسِّوَاكِ in the kulli salah, and to use the miswak at the time of every salah. So the Prophet ﷺ had a very, very deep attachment to the miswak. And this hadith is actually muttafaqun alayh. Muttafaqun alayh means Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim have both narrated this. Similarly, people always ask when a famous person passes away, they say, well, what was the last thing he said? You know, what were his last parting words of advice? Or what was the very last thing that that person did? Well, if you look at the death of the Prophet ﷺ, the very last act that he did before he passed away was to take a miswak from Aisha radiallahu anha's hand and put it in his mouth. He made a dua and then he expired and moved on to the next world to meet his Lord. So he really, I mean, imagine the very last thing that the greatest of creation, the messenger of Allah, of all the creation, the one who has attained the most nearness to Allah and the most consciousness of Allah, imagine that right before he expires, he's asking for a miswak. The miswak was the very, very last act that the Prophet ﷺ did it. And this is an act of ibadah. It's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I've seen people who are about to die. They're not worried about brushing their teeth at that time. They're in a state of fear. They don't know what's going on. Everything around them is caving in. You're shaking. They're asking you, what's going on? What's going on? Yet the Prophet ﷺ sees the miswak and he wants to clean his mouth one last time before he goes and meets his Lord. In fact, the ulama have written that there are over 70 benefits of the miswak. If you pick up the traditional books of our ulama, they continue to list benefits. And one of the benefits that they list is the fact that the person who regularly uses the miswak, that person will inshallah die with the kalima on his tongue. If you look at another hadith from Anas radiallahu anhu, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from age 10 to age 20, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثرت عليكم في السواك, I have abundantly talked about the siwak before you. Meaning this isn't something the Prophet ﷺ mentioned one day or another day and then left it. He regularly, over and over and over again, not only said it, talked about the miswak, but then he said, I've also told you about it. I have regularly repeated to you about the siwak. So you can't get any more without making it mandatory. He regularly spoke of it. He also told people about why, about how much he spoke of it, and he regularly used it himself. Another hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha, إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال السواك مطهرة للفم. The miswak is a means of cleaning the mouth, مرضات للرب, and a means of pleasing your Lord, or pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and this is narrated by an Nasa'i.